is April the 5th at 8:40 a.m. Let the record show that present are Representative Zawacki, Representative Sponholz, who we are going to miss. She's done absolutely an outstanding job as a member of this committee, and I hope it's not too many years before we see you back in government services. And I want to make sure that went on the tape and on the record. You indeed done an absolutely outstanding job, considering the fact that you're thrown in absolutely cold. You've got the responsibilities of a single parent, and I would say in the 30 years that I've been here, I think that I and your colleagues on both sides of the aisle have been truly impressed with the outstanding job you've done for your state and yourself, too.
Thank you. Your words are...
And also present is Representative Alice Hanley. The first item that we will take up is the confirmation hearing of Dr. Rod Wilson to the APOC, Public Officers Commission Board. Rod, are you online?
I certainly am, Representative Boucher.
Would you like to go ahead, sir, with your comments or any comments that you might have?
All right. I'm pleased to be nominated by Governor Cooper for a position on the APOC commission. I think the work that the commission does in administering the three statutes, the conflict campaign disclosure, the regulation of lobbying, and the conflict of interest law, are things that the public increasingly wants over the last 10 or 12 years. I think the public has a right to know who is running, where the money comes from, how lobbying money is spent for what topics. I think that's a proper topic. If I am confirmed, I want to help the other commissioners. I know some of them want to do it to look at the laws and the regulations to see that they're up to date in dollar threshold amounts. In other words, is $100 a proper threshold for identification of occupation and so forth, or is that 12 years old and should it be $200, $300, or $400? I don't know. Also, the upper limit, the $1,000 individual contribution, might be should be looked at. Perhaps I know Governor Cooper has submitted something in that respect. But I look forward to working with the commission if confirmed, and I think its work is important.
Are there any questions that the committee might have? Representative Hanley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really don't have a question. I wanted to tell you that I was pleased when I read about the appointment. I think I indicated that to you, but I think that yours is an excellent appointment, and having gotten to know you, I have no question that you'll do a fine job on the APOC Commission. So I was really pleased when I saw your name listed as one of the governor's appointments. I wanted to congratulate you.
Thank you, Representative Hanley. I appreciated your note and your kind comments.
Are there any other comments from any of the other members? Rod, I join Alice. I think you've been an outstanding public servant. Certainly, your resume, which is an indication of the broad experience that you have in life. And really what we're dealing with here is oftentimes a highly emotional issue, and not only does it affect the public at large, but also the individual citizens who seek to serve their fellow Alaskans. And many times I have seen approaches taken that I think could be a bit more balanced. Oftentimes, as you are well aware, as a doctor, these highly emotionally charged issues, which tend to quite often happen in political campaigns, are oftentimes more adrenaline-driven than not, and I'm sure that the broad experience that you have both public and government service and your professional background will lend a lot of balance to that committee, and I join Alice in commending the governor on really an outstanding appointment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. May I say one other thing?
You go right ahead, sir.
I've been to two meetings of the commission now, and I've talked to the executive secretary, executive director. And I think the commission is going to have to really take a hard look at what it is going to do and what it is not going to do. The commission cannot possibly do all the things that are asked of it to do under the three statutes and has not been doing a number of them for some time. I would rather do the important things well and fairly thoroughly and leave other things less important not done until such time as the staff could be increased or budget increased. But we can't do all we're supposed to do now. The commission is very good at clocking in reports and seeing if they're late and slapping wrists and fining people $10 here and $100 there if something is late. We're not very good at really scrutinizing problem areas, although they've done some good work lately. We don't look at lobbyists' reports hardly at all, and not until after the legislative session. We don't cross-check conflict of interest statements to see if I owned a property last year and don't own it this year, and file two reports of what happened. That may or may not be important, but it ought to be done at some level well or not done at all. So I and other commissioners are concerned about this thing, and if I'm confirmed, I want to help them reorder some of the things we do so we make sure we do the important things that are in the public interest and not do a bunch of stuff that's of marginal importance or simply harasses the public and candidates.
You're getting a lot of head bowing here, Rod. Well, I'm sure on behalf of all of the members of State Affairs, we thank you for stepping forward and offering your services. I know that the state and candidates on both sides, as well as the citizens of the state, will be well served. So with that, I'll accept a recommendation that we, or a motion that we move out of committee. The recommendation for the appointment of Dr. Rodman Wilson to the Public Offices Commission. Representative Hanley?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the recommendation for Dr. Rodman Wilson as a member of the Public Offices Commission to the next committee of a referral with individual recommendations.
Thank you. Any objection? So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sure it'll move along speedily.
Thank you.
You have a good day, Rod. We're still waiting for the other members to arrive, and we'll be discussing, we'll be putting a committee substitute for HB 88, which deals with the marijuana issue, back on the table. In the meantime, the next is HCR 24, Regard Personal Service Cost Containment Task Force. And I believe that Representative Randy Phillips is here to testify on this. Would you come forward, please, sir?
Are we on telecom, please?
Yes.
It can be if you'd like.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Randy Phillips, representing House District 15. I also have Jay Hogan here as well, and I want him to say a few words on this as well. As many of you know, the personal services for the state of Alaska is being questioned, at least in our area of the state, as being too high. And the only thing I can think of in doing this responsibly is to create a cost containment task force made of 3 members of the House, 3 of the Senate, with the Commissioner of Department of Administration as serving as advisory and information and resource area. And I tried to look at all the angles, but it seems to me that in order to do a responsible job, both for the state of Alaska, the citizens within it, and also the state employees, this is the conclusion I've come up with. And as much as I hate to create another task force, this is probably the only way we can do a comprehensive and thorough and responsible review of the cost of government. And I foresee some recommendations coming out of this task force to make our government more efficient and more cost effective. And that's about it, Mr. Chairman. That probably sums it up.
Are there any comments or questions from the committee? Representative Wacky? All right. We're not on time.
Oh, no. Chairman,
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to add one more thing to my testimony. The Fiscal Policy Committee has recommended in their report, which was released a couple days ago, I think all of us have gotten in our mailboxes, has recommended this bill as a due pass and as a mechanism to look into the cost of government. So I just want to let you know it has been recommended by a bipartisan group of people there.
Representative Feinholz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Phillips, was there any consideration given to including members of leaders of collective bargaining groups as partners,
no,
as a cooperative effort?
Yes, I have done that, but I feel that these decisions are going to have to be made by the legislature. And as you look into the resolution, the Department Administration only serves as advisory role. I want this to be strictly contained with the decision making within the legislature. What I'm afraid of, if you start adding more people, you're going to get bogged down, and we're not going to get any decision making made. So that's why I contained it just 3 members of the House, 3 of the Senate, and the Department of Administration serving as advisory role. The more people you get in involved, I think it's going to be more difficult to get where we want to go, and that is come up with a responsible plan for the legislature to look at. And in the end, the legislature is going to have to make that decision anyway. So I want to start with the legislature and end with the legislature. I just think... And it's nothing to, in my opinion, to slight bargaining groups. I just want to have the 3 members of the House, 3 of the Senate, and of course, when this group, the task force, is formed, they're going to have public hearings, and of course, the collective bargaining unions of the state employees would be more than welcome to come and testify, lobby the legislature, or whatever. But I just want to start and end with the legislature.
Representative Zawacki?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Randy?
Yes, I'd rather that.
I appreciate you, putting together the legislation, and I look at this as, making us the legislative body, more accountable. It's been too easy for us, and I include all of us, I guess, to always go back home and listen to the people, and they're telling us, why are the wages and why are the benefits and why is the state employment so high and continue to grow? And we continually pass it off as, well, this is the governor and the administration, and they're the ones doing the negotiation. I think by setting this task force and making us responsible for specifically looking at those wages and benefits and the manpower out there and then coming back as a legislative body, we're going to make ourselves accountable. And I think it's time. It's overdue. Because it's too easy to say we've got the governor and his negotiating team legislating or mandating these contracts and that with bargaining units out there. And I think this is the step that's going to say, we as a legislative body has to address it. And in fact, we have to, because it's been a poor record in regards to trying to rein in the excesses out there. And I think this is an excellent step. And and I understand Representative Sponholz's comments on that. But I think we put ourselves out front out there. We can bog down committees as we have in the past and pass them off on somebody else, and all we've done is make ourselves less responsible. This makes us responsible, because we're going to have to act on those decisions.
Are there any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like for Jay to hold and say a few words, because frankly, I got so damn frustrated how to handle this situation that about 2-3 weeks ago, I just sat down with him for about an hour, and he's been here a long time. I've been here a fairly long time, and after our hour discussion, I just concluded this is probably the best way to handle this situation. And what I mean by that is professionally, rather than just try to take bits and pieces out or have the whole comprehensive picture in front of us this time next year, and then the legislature itself can make decisions, go up or down or whatever. But I want to emphasize the point that I want to start with the legislature and end this with the legislature. We are ultimately responsible. And I'll just...
Mr. Hogan, would you care to come forward? And since Representative Phillips has requested that you comment on your question.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jay Hogan. I'm staff to co-chairman Ron Larson and the House Finance Committee. Basically, Mr. Chairman, the resolution would deal with probably the largest single cost area in state government. If you look at the general fund budget as a whole, it's slightly over $2 billion. A little more than half of that $2 billion, 1.1, goes through in the form of pass-throughs to individuals or other entities of government. Of that which remains in state government, which is slightly in the neighborhood of $1 billion, $625 million of that is personal services. So if there is increasing concern in years ahead about constraining the cost of government, it will have to include some addressing of that issue. That is the chunk of state government. So I think this would get at that in an orderly fashion to see what, if anything, should be done with the laws and regulations that currently prescribe a good deal of the cost in that.
Are there any other questions or comments? I have one. As this obviously, while not everybody's happy, we function under the collective bargaining system. Do you feel that this might be the thin end of the wedge in getting the lawmaking body into that particular area?
Mr. Chairman, I would not think so. I have been with the legislature long enough to know that they recognize the line and try to avoid getting into that arena. I suspect, though, that there may be some grounds for discussion of those areas that should be addressed by statute to perhaps make the process function better. I think we have a situation now where perhaps it doesn't function as well as it could, because of the conflict of old laws that were basically around since the time of statehood dealing with a personnel system, upon which we have superimposed new laws that are collective bargaining oriented in nature. So I suspect that there are some areas where the two don't fit together too terribly well.
Would that, at the recent summit meeting, I believe it was two meetings ago, the governor referred to the need for legislative adjustment, if you will. In other words, that the laws were not up to date in certain areas, and it made it difficult. for the executive branch to negotiate.
Yes, sir.
I think simply he was saying that there's pressure on our office to have certain responses, but you, the legislature, need to adjust it. Do you consider this a step forward in conforming to the governor's request at that time?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do. I think without this kind of a look by the legislature, the possibility exists for taking a piece of statute or a portion of the problem under consideration and moving to pass that and hope that's going to correct a problem we perceive that we have. I think an excellent argument can be made for taking an interim or whatever time it takes to take a comprehensive look at the problem and see if perhaps the issue that the governor talked about is the major issue. Perhaps it isn't. But without a group of legislators taking a look at the whole problem, it's going to be very hard to know whether you've really addressed it as appropriately.
Thank you very much. What's the pleasure of the committee? Representative Zawacki?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. What about House Concur Resolution 24 with individual recommendations?
Any objection? So moved. Thank you, Representative Phillips.
Thank you.
Will you check on the other members so that we can make sure that we're on top of it? 88.
I think
Representative McLean is here and will join us shortly. I think that you could probably take up HCR 28. All right. Moving along. See, we have before us House Concurrent Resolution number 28 relating to efficient management and the cost of state government. This would appear to tie in with the earlier legislation, and the sponsor is here, Representative Lehman. Would you care to come forward, sir?
Just
give your name and address for the record, so forth, and proceed. Good to see you.
Good to see you. My name is Lauren Lehman. I reside at 2699 Nathaniel Court. Well, it's been so long since I've been there, I wonder if it's even there, at Anchorage. And I represent District 9, Seat A. HCR 28 is a resolution that recommends to the governor that he appoint a what I call a blue ribbon panel, members of the committee and Mr. Chairman, to study the cost and efficiency of state government. Perhaps I'm starting to sound like a broken record when it comes to this, but I know it's an area that we all are interested in, and yet it seems to be a job bigger than any of us, and perhaps bigger than we can accomplish in this session. And what I propose through this resolution is that the governor basically model the commission after what Governor Hammond did back in 1975. And what he did was appoint committee chairman and vice chairman, and they in turn went out to the private sector and selected other qualified people to serve on the committee. And these people donated their time, and so the cost to the state was very nominal. There was a management expert who assisted the committee, and there were a few administrative costs associated with running a commission, such as telephone costs, etc. But the overall cost to the committee, to the state, was very low. And support is very good. I'm pleased that on this committee alone, three of you have already signed on as co-sponsors, and I certainly welcome those of you who haven't to join. And we're receiving support from the governor's office. I think you have a letter, if you should have a letter in your packets indicating support of the concept from the governor's office. The State Chamber of Commerce also has indicated their support of this. And I don't know if this is in your packet. If not, I can distribute this. It's one of the priorities of the State Chamber. Other organizations have called and indicated their support. Several have called instead of written so far because the time since the time for the committee was announced and now is fairly short. But for example, the National Bank of Alaska called yesterday and said, we are committed and we'll help in this whatever way we can. And if we can get organizations like that to get behind this and support it, I think that this can be very successful.
Let the record show that Representative McLean has joined us.
Okay, the last thing that I just want to touch on, and certainly happy to answer questions, is the fiscal note. I just saw this for the first time yesterday. The fiscal note is at $39,000, which suggests hiring administrative staff for temporary help. I'm not convinced that we need to be looking to hire staff for this. I think it would be a good idea to do this work in concert with the governor's plan for hiring an efficiency expert, but I think we can look to be absorbing these types of functions within the existing departments. And I think that we probably want to talk about this more in the Finance Committee. That's really all that I think I need to say about it, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
What's the pleasure of the committee? Is there anybody else who would like to testify, by the way?
John Lucas from the governor's office is on his way over. He'll be available to answer questions if necessary.
Is he here now?
He's on his way, as I understand.
We had a tight schedule. What's the committee's pleasure on this? Representative Hanley?
Mr. Chairman, I would move HCR 28 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Any objection? So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This is the Fast Action Committee, Representative Whitman. Efficient.
Efficiency.
All right.
Committee.
We have back before us committee substitute for House Bill 88, and I'm not going to read the title. It is probably the most lengthy. I'm going to bring it back on the table for discussion. And recognize that this is just one step in the journey of a legislation that is a highly emotional one. There's strong feelings on both sides of this issue, but I would like to commend the bipartisan effort and the time that individual committee members have put forward. In addition, there have been members of the public on both sides of the issue that have had an opportunity to testify and to provide their input. Specifically, I would like to thank Representative Hanley and Spanos for the time and the effort that they have put into this in many, many subcommittee meetings. This is probably not a piece of legislation that everybody is going to be happy with, but I think it addresses the problem, and especially in the areas of young people that might be attempting or experimenting. It doesn't deal as harshly with them, but by the same token, or experimenters. But I think that it does indicate clearly that there is a strong concern in this legislature, not just for the marijuana issue, but for the entire drug scene. And one of the things that I felt in going forward that I wanted to make sure that we indicate that drug enforcement, enforcement of such legislation is going to cost money. You just pass a law and not have it enforced, and even more important, an education role that the state must play in this, so that there's a strong an intent given to the preventive aspect of it. And we've also included in here a letter of intent, which I hope you've all had the opportunity to read, that talks about the larger picture the entire drug scene, not just in Alaska, and this absolute necessity for both the legislative and the executive to place this as a top priority and to fund it. So I don't know what the final results of it, but I do know that in state affairs a lot of time and attention in a bipartisan manner has been given to this issue, and I deeply appreciate it. Probably we have spent more time on this than any other single issue. Representative Hanley, any of you that feel you would like to comment, you feel free to go right at Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're not on telecom. Sorry.
No, we're not.
I do have some comments. I think some of the things that you brought up in speaking just now reminded me of some of the reasons that I think it's imperative for us to pass a bill that changes the laws on marijuana, changes the law. I think that we have heard from our United States senators that some of our funding is jeopardized on the federal level. I think this is very significant because we all recognize that this certainly isn't going to cure the problem. This isn't going to be a solution. I think it's a step. I think it's a small step and a step in the right direction. But because we are not in compliance with federal law, because we are the only state not in compliance, we have heard that there are senators nationwide who really believe that Alaska's funding for drug education and rehabilitation and those programs should be cut back. And I think they're justified in suggesting that perhaps we don't deserve what other states do because we have a very liberal law on our books. I think they're suggesting that we're encouraging drug abuse, and why should we have the money to fight drug abuse if we're encouraging it through our law? I'm not sure that we're encouraging it, but I think we're not discouraging it. I think often you can tell, it's been said that you can tell something about the moral foundation of a state by the laws it passes. And I think this does make a statement. I think that this bill that we've worked on makes a statement that we believe that marijuana is dangerous. I truly believe that it's dangerous. I believe it's more dangerous than tobacco. I believe it's more dangerous than alcohol. And I think that as more research is completed, we'll become aware of that. So I was pleased to work on this. I think that we've often talked that we're sending a message to our young people. And I think that's important that we send a message. I'm not sure that, I agree with you that ideally we will put more money into enforcement, we will put more money into education, because all of those are big pieces of the same puzzle. We need to do all those things. But I think even by passing this, we are changing the message so that if the funding doesn't follow, certainly that's not the ideal situation, but I still think it's better than the situation we now have. So I certainly support, and I appreciate the opportunity to have been able to work on this and the backup and the resources we had available to us and drafting a bill that, yes, it's a compromise. I think we started off with HB 88 as a 4 ounces as a violation, and this bill is different from that, and I think it's a compromise, I guess probably a political compromise, but I think it still makes a statement, and hopefully this will receive, or marijuana legislation in the House will receive more attention. I think statewide, we've got an indication now that people are ready to change the laws on marijuana, and I think it's a responsibility of this legislature to respond to that.
Is there anybody else that would care to comment? Representative Spahnholz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to just make a short comment. I spoke yesterday. I'm real pleased that the letter of intent, and I hope we'll pass that today out with our committee bill. I'm concerned that if we should only pass this piece of legislation, that we would create the illusion that we are solving the drug problem or that we have the ability to solve the drug problem without truly solving the drug problem. And so I will sign... do pass only as a part of legislation which funds law enforcement, drug research, and prevention and intervention programs for families and youth, because I would like to really attack the problem and not just the illusion of the problem.
Representative Zawacki?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I concur with Representative Spahnholz's comments on that. There are many ways that we are going to have to address, the drug problem out there. But I look at this another way. As we get older, we all tend to get set in our ways, and so I'm not going to really address this on the adult side, because You know, we've seen through all of the testimony, there will always be differences between the adults as to, you know, the right to privacy, the right to the trust. But I look at it on the youth side, and Representative Hanley touched on that. When we heard testimony from the youth out there, when they were given marijuana, could get marijuana freely within their homes from their parents, when they could get it freely from their friends' parents or people who give marijuana to youths in the home, we heard about people here in Juneau, knowing that it's illegal, and we talked about a mixed signal out there, knowing that everything is illegal about marijuana other than it's sitting in somebody's home, and yet the youths have access to it. When the youth tell us they can walk out of this building and be back in 15 minutes to see how readily accessible it is out there, I think the message needs to be sent clearly to our youth to protect them for the future. And it's unfortunate and sad, you know, the messages they keep coming, because their message is they think it's legal everywhere, and yet it isn't legal for them at all. And so I would hope that this legislation, in fact, I would like to put more teeth in it, but I think it is somewhat of a compromise, and we did improve on it, and that's what I'm satisfied with, and that's why I will sign due pass on the legislation itself. But if we can get that message to our youth that marijuana and any other drug is illegal and it is dangerous, then we've got a small success if this legislation will do that.
Thank you, Representative Rackett. Representative McClain. Comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill, I've thought a lot about the marijuana bill and have listened to the testimonies that the young students have brought forth, and to me, I concur with Representative Hanley that it is a small step. I feel that there needs to be a constitutional amendment to address the right of privacy. I feel that those two bills, the resolution and the marijuana bill, should go hand in hand, because the voters within the state of Alaska should have the right to decide whether they want that definition of the right to privacy to be voted on. And we are sending mixed signals to the students, to the children, when it is condoned in the home, and then we're saying it's against the law, though, outside, and then we say that it's bad for your health through the health education process, how it's a drug, and it's an abusing type of drug. So those type of things need to be more in line, more legal, more where we accept it.
Thank you very much. Any further comments? As I said, we... Jack?
Are you prepared to do something with this bill? I need to get 2 minutes of the committee's time before you...
Yes, absolutely, yes. We're planning to move it out today with hope.
My name is Jack Shenoweth, and I work for Legal Services. And in mid-March, I sent over to you a memo that said that the version of that time should incorporate an amendment to the definition of manufacture that applies to controlled substances law. And I thought that that amendment would delete reference to people who grow marijuana for personal possession, because, as I said in that memo, I saw no need to continue that language in the statute. Yesterday, the Criminal Division, Assistant Attorney General Laureato, responded, suggesting that there indeed was a good reason to keep the law, which is now Section 7 of the draft bill in front of you, intact, and not to make the deletion. Dennis, did you circulate that?
I have it here.
That's the death. Yeah,
where,
that's the draft.
Where in my pile is it, Dennis?
Committee substitute, page 5, line 10.
Okay.
And I think Laurie's reason, as spelled out there, is a good one. And so before you move the bill, I guess I would like to say this. We were wrong in saying that section should be amended because as it stood, the inclusion of the language served no useful purpose. It does indeed serve an important purpose in terms of how prosecutions are handled. The distinction that Ms. Otto draws is this. If you leave the draft as I have made it and take away, bracket out the personal possession language, then the Department of Law has no choice but to prosecute people who grow marijuana for personal use under the possession statute. And that makes possession of one growing plant, a conviction of that a C felony. If you strip Section 7 out of the bill and essentially leave the law alone, they are able to then prosecute on a lesser misdemeanor charge. Now, there is an important distinction there. You can do as we have suggested and take that language out, which would make all prosecutions for growing plants, even one plant for personal use, a C felony. But understand that you'd be doing it as a conscious change in the law, that is not, as we had said, for good reason, that there is a distinction that's important here, and that you understand that distinction, and that you want to prosecute at the higher level. I just want to try to clear up our error. Their recommendation is that Section 7 be removed from the bill, and I, at this point, it really is a policy call on the part of the committee.
Representative Spanos.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If this plant that is growing for personal use is less than 1 ounce in weight, were we to weigh it, would that we then be increasing the penalty
yes.
for that plant, even though it was less than 1 ounce?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I understood you to say.
Representative Hanley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm assuming that the reason that we're changing the penalty would be different for this is because of the classification.
That was what crossed my mind when I suggested.
Well, we looked at the definition
change.
Of hash, hash oil, and then tetra whatever cannabinoids or something, cannabinols or. But marijuana is defined in statute then as stems, leaves, seeds, and the marijuana is different from a marijuana plant. The definition of marijuana is statute, so that the plant would be a Class C felony would be in 3A instead of 6A.
If I can't tell you whether it would be 3A or not, I can tell you that if you do what we have suggested here, the Department of Law would have no choice but to prosecute the possessor of growing plants under the manufacturer statutes, and that moves it from the misdemeanor realm up to
the felony realm.
Now, you can make that change if you want to, but please understand the significance of that. It is not, as we had originally thought, that this served no useful purpose because the committee was interested in making any possession of marijuana an offense. It is a conscious change on how those possessions shall be prosecuted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That would be quite an inconsistency in the law. You could have 50 joints. You could have up to 4 ounces with a retail value of close to $1,300 as a Class B misdemeanor, and one plant would be a Class C felony.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that would be a pretty inconsistent application of the law. I think I don't have any problem with stiff penalties, but I think they need to be consistent. And if we were going to say everything's a Class C felony, then I could probably buy that too. But I think this makes it so inconsistent that we would certainly be subject to a lot of ridicule if we had one plant as a Class C felony and 4 ounces or 8 ounces, 8 ounces of marijuana, up to 8 ounces as a Class B misdemeanor. That's pretty inconsistent. So
what do you recommend an amendment? Let's get an amendment before the body that we can get on the table. Representative McLean, you had a comment?
Yes, I concur with Representative Hanley that it would make the law, the work that has been done, inconsistent, and I would be inclined to delete Section 7.
Is that what it'll take, the motion,
that's
delete
correct.
Section 7? The motion is to delete Section 7 is before us. Any objection? So moved. Representative Hanley.
Mr. Chairman, I had, there's, in the letter of... All right. Then I would move the committee substitute as amended for House Bill 88 to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Any objection? Once again, as I said, thank you for your hard work, and this is one small
step,
and we send it forward with a message of hope.
Thank you.
All right, the letter of intent is now before us. And also, as Representative McLean had discussed earlier, we have drafted a resolution which would, in effect, give the voters an opportunity to express their opinion on it. Purposely, we did not hook Committee Substitute for HB 88 into that, because that would meant that unless this passed the body, the other wouldn't. But a number of people have expressed an interest in this particular phase of it. So after the letter of intent, I'm going to bring that before the body. And if it is the body's general consensus of opinion, we'll have that read across in the next day or so. Let's see, where are we? The letter of intent is now before us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only, I would feel better with the change of one word, and I don't know how the committee would.
Let's see.
I'm looking at the second sentence, and it says, expert testimony and research reveals, however, that legislation alone cannot address this drug problem. I guess I would prefer to say cannot solve.
All right, excellent.
And I don't know if that...
I have no problem with that.
If we could say that we can't... I think we can address it, but we can't solve it. So I would prefer to say that we cannot solve.
Yeah, right.
If there's no objection, I would move
absolutely
to amend,
not.
Amend it by...
Are there any objection to that? No. And I think this is... So often one little key word means so much in this. Are there any other comments regarding the letter of intent? What's the pleasure of the committee? Representative Spano?
I'd like to move this letter of intent be sent with our CS for HB 88 as we send it on to the next committee referral.
Any objection? So moved. What about our physical note on this? Does that move forward with the legislation? Okay, all right. Now, the $64 question. You have in your packet in item 8 a proposed amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska providing that an individual's right of privacy does not include the possession or use of controlled substances. I'd like to put this before the committee for discussion. Representative McLean?
Yes, I feel that with Representative Sawaki's earlier statement that there needs to be more teeth, if the people had the right to choose on this and vote on it, then it would put more teeth into the marijuana bill, and it would address the right of privacy.
Representative Sawaki?
No, again, I have to concur. As I said, I think and by this resolution in itself, we will give the people out there the opportunity to express specifically what their feeling is in regards to marijuana and our drug use via through the Constitution. And I think that is the avenue that we should consistently allow the people of the state to express. We unfortunately have gone out, you know, probably for years and asked the people and tried to take polls and tried to, but I think taking it and allowing them to vote and put their little X on that ballot and telling us specifically how they feel, I think we'll more than get a clear message out there. In turn, we will be able to get a much clearer message, as I said before, to our youth. I'm not going to belabor the point about the adults and their differences of opinion and set in their ways, but I think along with the bill, along with the constitutional amendment and the people voting on it, I think there'll be no doubt exactly what the feeling of the state of the people will be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have to leave, but I wanted to state I'd be happy for the committee to have this read across, and I think that the opportunity to be on the ballot is an excellent one. I think we could eliminate the excessive cost of having this go be challenged. There's no question that if a marijuana bill is ever, if the law is changed, it will be challenged. I think everyone recognizes that. However, if this was on the ballot and passed, then that challenge would you know, there would be no challenge. I think the people would have spoken. So that I think it's a very responsible thing to do, and I would support having the committee sponsor this resolution and have it read across. And I think I need to scoot. I had a message.
Thank you very much, Alice.
Thank you.
Representative Spanholz, You care to comment further?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to say that I do think this, putting this on the ballot for the people to vote is an excellent idea, and I will vote to pass it out of committee.
Thank you. Well, there's unanimous agreement then. I think, too, it makes another statement to the broad issue. And it, once again, would raise the level of debate on this particular subject. So I heartily support, and we will instruct staff to have it read across. Hopefully we can have it read across tomorrow or the next day. So let the record indicate that it is the unanimous
consensus
agreement, if you will, of the State Affairs Committee members present, that an amendment be proposed, put before the legislature, to propose the amendment of the Constitution of the State of Alaska, providing an individual's right of privacy does not include the possession or use of controlled substances. So we have no more business to come before the committee. I want to thank you again for your hard work on an issue that is of great public concern. I really appreciate it, and I'm pleased particularly that it goes out of this committee with a strong message. There's probably as many due passes on this, and I think that Representative Sponholz clearly indicates that she's for it, but back it up. Put your money where your mouth is, in other words. Thank you very much. And with that, State Affairs will adjourn at 9:34.